Come, let us bow down and worship. Let us kneel before the Lord, our Maker.
Good morning. It's good to gather in the Lord's house this beautiful day. After a day of rain yesterday, it's good to see the sunshine this morning. It is good to be in the Lord's house this day. It's a weekend of new beginnings in our community. If you had a chance to drive through the Elon campus yesterday, I am so sorry. It was a day of move-in, and it was a day of new beginnings just down the road from us. As I drove through the campus this morning, I saw hundreds of college students being ushered off to orientation groups. We know that the vitality in our community has just begun, and for the next couple months, our prayers are with our fellow students at Elon University as they begin their semester. Our prayers are with them, and it is a new beginning for our community. As students have started going back to school, as Alamance Burlington School System start back tomorrow with our students, it is a new, fresh time. It is a time of new beginnings, and we like to set aside this worship service to pray for our students, to pray for our teachers in this new beginning. So that is why we have gathered here this day, to worship our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and to pray special blessings upon this school year. We want to welcome any guests we have with us. Thank you for joining us for worship this day. If you are a first-time guest with us, we want you to fill out a visitor card that's located in the pew in front of you, just so we can just have a record of your visit, a name, so we can pray for you this week in our time of staff meeting this week. Many other things going on in the life of our church, not just centered around our worship service today. I do want to remind you, we do not have any Sunday night activities tonight. We want families to spend time together before their kids go back to school. Students, we want you to go to bed early tonight so you get that good night's sleep. Parents, we want you to go to bed early tonight so you get a good night's sleep, so you get your kids to school early tomorrow. We will be getting started back with our fall activities starting in September. But many other things coming up in the life of our church. We had a wonderful time of breakfast this morning. Gay, thank you for leading that time as we recognized our educators, past and present. A wonderful time of honoring them. Next Sunday, I do want to remind you, is our first Sunday of the month, and we'll be doing our first Sunday in gathering. In your bulletin, you'll see we'll be collecting items for allied churches. Many of the items listed there are items they need for the homeless shelter there at the allied churches. And you can look at those special things they need. There'll be baskets located in the foyer next Sunday morning. There'll also be a basket upstairs located in the fellowship hall. If you want to drop those items off as you come in for Sunday school, either places you can drop those items off next Sunday for our first Sunday in gathering. I do want to remind our senior adults, we do have our senior adult luncheon coming up on September 10th. There are sign-up sheets in the communication center or in the Sunday school classrooms. Coming quickly. It will be a wonderful time of gathering around the table and enjoying some music, and we look forward to that. Many other opportunities are coming up. You can find those things listed in your newsletter. I will let you know Janice will be back in town starting tomorrow, and she will be working on our September newsletter. It will be sent out later this week, and they'll have a hard copies of those in the foyer starting next Sunday. As we gather here this morning, I want to turn this time over to Gay for a special time of recognition.
Well, y'all, I see a lot of happy faces and I see a lot of sad faces this morning. Happy faces and parents are saying, yay, my children are going back to school, and a lot of sad faces of the students saying, oh boy, what tomorrow holds. Well, I'm up here this morning to recognize our first and second graders that are moving up and to a new Sunday school class this year. And I want to recognize, we had three that are moving up, but one's not here today because of a death in their family. But I'm going to ask our stepdad to come receive her Bible for her, which is Donald. So our first child that's moving up is Elliot. And I'd like Elliot French to come up. He is going into second grade this year, and Elliot's been with us this summer doing our wonderful Wednesdays. And this is Sandy, and y'all know him, Sandy and Alex's grandson, Matt and Colleen's son, and this is Elliot. Thank you for being so faithful this summer, and wish you the best coming up in second grade. Next, we have Langston Lindsay is going into first grade this year. That is hard to believe, isn't it? Langston, come forward.
Langston's been here all summer, wonderful Wednesdays, and just doing a fantastic job, and loves the Lord. Have mercy. Congratulations, everybody. We love you.
And Kylie Brown started this summer, which is Donald Henry's new wife's daughter. Ivy is Donald's new bride. And so I'm going to ask Donald if he will come and receive Kylie's Bible for her. Kylie is going into second grade, and she will be in second grade at Elon this year. So, yeah. So, boy. And give her a hug for us. Now I'm turning back over to David.
Our scripture reading this morning, our first scripture reading, comes from Exodus chapter 34, reading verses 29 through 35. When Moses came down from Mount Sinai with the two tablets of the testimony in his hands, he was not aware that his face was radiant because he had spoken with the Lord. When Aaron and all the Israelites saw Moses, his face was radiant, and they were afraid to come near him. But Moses called to them, so Aaron and all the leaders of the community came back to him, and he spoke to them. Afterward, all the Israelites came near him, and he gave them all the commands the Lord had given him on Mount Sinai. When Moses finished speaking to them, he put a veil over his face. But whenever he entered the Lord's presence to speak with him, he removed the veil until he came out. And when he came out and told the Israelites what he had been commanded, they saw that his face was radiant. Then Moses would put the veil back over his face until he went in to speak with the Lord. As we reflect on these words, being in the presence of God and how it radiates us, makes us shine, may we reflect on that as we think about going into the schools this year, going out into the communities, going out into our workplaces. Let's go to the Lord in prayer this morning. Father, just as Moses radiated your presence when he spoke to the Israelites after standing face to face with you, may we do the same thing as we go out into the community, whether it be the schools, whether it be in our neighborhoods, our homes, our workplaces, into the community. Father, may we do the same thing. May we radiate. And Father, may this be a place where when we come into your presence and we feel your spirit moving through the words of Scripture, through the songs that we sing, through this experience of worship, may it give us that shining light, that brightness that we can carry out into this world. Father, that's why we have gathered here this day, to be in your presence, so we can shine and radiate into the world in which we go. Father, we just lift this day up to you, this time of worship, so we can be and bask in your presence. We lift this prayer in the name of Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Now, if you're able, please stand and join in singing our hymn of praise, Living Hope.
A greater chasm that lay between us. How high the mountain I could not climb. The desperation I turned to heaven and spoke your name into the night. Then turned the darkness, your loving kindness, shadows of my soul. The work is finished, the shadows ridden.
Jesus Christ,
my living hope. Could imagine so great a mercy, what heart could such boundless grace. The God of ages stepped down from glory to wear my sin and bear my shame. The cross has spoken, I am
forgiven.
The King of kings body beat silence, the roaring lion declared the grave has no claim on me. Then came the morning that sealed the promise, your very body began to breathe. Out of the silence, the roaring lion declared the grave has no claim on me. Jesus Christ is the victory. Be seated. We'd like for all the students to come forward now, whether you're high school, middle school, elementary, preschool, and teachers. Please come forward. Y'all come on down. The price is right. Isn't this a fine looking group?
One side.
One side. Yeah, some of y'all can come over here.
There you go. You were a point for that.
Well, this is some of our students and teachers. We're missing some. But on the screen, you will find a responsive reading that we're going to do. And the all black, dark, I guess it's going to be, will be what you guys are going to read, and I will read the leader part. Oh, holy God, the time has come when school begins. As these children begin their studies, we ask a blessing on their backpacks in which they carry books, notebooks, markers, pens, and pencils they will use to learn. Bless, O God, all who will teach our children in the coming days, weeks, and months. Give them the wisdom to find inspiration for each child. Give them the energy, the creativity, the love that will make their work a blessing to our children. Bless, O Lord, all the school administrators, that they may be faithful stewards of the resources entrusted to their care. Make them fair and merciful, able to do their critical work with the spirit of grace and compassion. Bless, O Lord, each one gathered here that will seek every opportunity to grow in our knowledge and love of you, in our church, our school classes, our youth, and our children's ministries. Grant that we may see you more clearly, love you more dearly, follow you more nearly. And bless, O Lord, these cherished children, those who have promised and loved and nurtured. Keep them safe, keep them excited, keep them ever seeking to learn more and to develop their gifts. Grant that through their studies, they may gain the tools to grow in love, faith, service, and all their days. Bless, O God, these backpacks and the children who carry them. O Lord of life and love, hear our prayer. Amen.
As has already been said, this is a special time of year. It is a new beginning, and there are nerves, there are tension. There has been a lot of work that has already been invested into this time of year by our teachers. Our prayers are with you, teachers, as the dedication and hard work that you put through the summertime, and especially in these past couple weeks, as you prepared for students to come back Our prayers are with you this year. Students, our prayers are with you. Some of you have already started back. As school has started back and the workload has already started, our prayers are with you. As you return to, some of you return to school tomorrow, as you meet new students, as you get to know your teachers for the first time, you undergo this change in schools or these change in course load, our prayers are with you as well. It is a daunting task to start a new school year, and our prayers are with you, not just this day, but every day. And so I'll ask our congregation if you will promise to pray for these students and these teachers, not just this day, but throughout this school year. I'll ask if you promise to do that, if you will stand for these students and teachers. Look around. You have a church that is willing to pray for you. Know that. Let's go to the Lord in prayer this morning. Father, as we gather here this morning, we ask that you bless the backpacks and the children and the youth who carry them as they begin yet another year of school. I ask that you give them peace when they feel nervous, focus when they feel distracted, energy when they feel tired. Open their minds to the lessons that they will learn both in and outside the classroom this year. Help them to make friends that build each other up, and to be friends to those who need new friends. Guide them in making good decisions as they grow in wisdom and maturity. Be ever present with them in the classroom, in the school bus, on the athletic fields, and at home. And Father, may they feel your presence with them, not just tomorrow as they begin this new school year, but every single day as they go into the classroom and as they leave the classroom to go home. Father, bless those teachers and administrators in the ministry. This truly is a ministry of service, of teaching the future generations. As they embark on a new school year, Father, grant them the energy, the passion, the discipline, and the endurance for the daily tasks that lie in front of them. Infuse their classrooms with an atmosphere of care and mutual respect, that all the interactions that they have will be bathed in patience and understanding. Help their lessons to grow pupils in both knowledge and character. May they develop relationships with their students where they can show the love of Christ in the words that they share and the actions that they give. Father, help us to support them, not just in words, but in deed and in actions. Father, may we support them, and when they come here on Sundays, may we be a resource, a refuge for them. Words of encouragement, hugs, pats on the back so they can have the energy to approach that Monday morning. Father, I just ask that you bring special blessings of safety upon our schools this year, not just in our community, but across this nation. Father, I ask that as we embark on this new school year, that you move in a way that we have never seen. Infuse your knowledge, your presence in our community and across this world. We give this school year to you. In the Lord's name we pray. Amen. Now, students and teachers, don't rush to go sit down. We have a special gift to give each one of you. One basket, I think the basket over here is for students, and the basket over here are for teachers. So as you go to your seats, please stop by one of those baskets and take a special gift on behalf of the children's team and the worship team that put these together. I will say there are probably a few that will be left over, and those baskets will be taken out to the foyer. So, congregation, if you have grandchildren or family members who are teachers or students, we want you to pick one of those up as well as you leave today and take those to them and give them to those family members as you leave this morning.
offertory hymn this morning is hymn number 48, Immortal. I'm not sure if that's the right number for y'all. Let me look and make sure. Hymn number 6. We'll sing the first and last stanza. Let's stand and worship together.
Thank you, Lord, for all of your many blessings. Thank you also for this loving church family. Please be with all the teachers and students during the school year. Bless this offering and help us to use it for your great work in this church and this community. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Be
if you can see what I once was. The victories God has won. Where would I be had God not brought me gently to this place? I'm here to say I'm nothing but a sinner saved by grace.
I'm just a sinner saved by grace when I stood in the mirror there. It took my place, took my place. Now I live and breathe in freedom. With each breath of life I take, love and forgiveness. Back with the living, I'm just a sinner saved by grace, saved by grace.
Nice to see my ladies here again this morning. I told the ushers when they were coming in, I got five people here. If everybody else brought five people, we'd have to put out chairs. Get to work out there. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for a time of recognition and blessing upon our educators and children. But in these moments, may we as your disciples remember that being a disciple means a learner. And so help us to learn from your holy word in these moments. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. Acts chapter 6, beginning with verse 8. Now Stephen, a man full of God's grace and power, did wonders and miraculous signs among the people. Opposition arose, however, from members of the synagogue of the freedmen, as it was called, Jews of Cyrene and Alexandria, as well as the provinces of Cilicia and Asia. These men began to argue with Stephen. They could not stand up against his wisdom or the spirit by whom he spoke. And then they secretly persuaded some men to say, "Oh, we've heard Stephen speak words of blasphemy against Moses and against God." And so they stirred up the people and the elders and the teachers of the law. They seized Stephen and they brought him before the Sanhedrin. And they produced false witnesses who testified, "This fellow never stops speaking against this holy place and against the law. For we had heard him say that this Jesus of Nazareth will destroy this place and change the customs Moses handed down to us." And all who were sitting in the Sanhedrin looked intently at Stephen, and they saw that his face was like the face of an angel. May God add his blessing to the reading and hearing of his holy word. As a graduate student at the University of Tennessee, Go Vols, I took a course that required that all the students would take a variety of psychological tests. One test evaluated how we related to other people in terms of what we give and what we get. There were three categories of classifications. One described people who always try to protect what they have because they constantly fear that somebody else is going to take it. We know people like that, don't we? Another category was for people who expected others to meet their needs and take care of them no matter how bad they acted. I fit into the third category, and that was for people who choose to give to others on the assumption that if you are generous to others, they will be generous to you. We were told that the test results were a lifelong extension of what we had learned as young children before the age of 6. Some discovered that they should take their toys and hide them where no one else could ever find them. Some concluded that the best way to get ahead was to beat up the other kid and steal his toys. Apparently, I learned that if I share my toys with you, you will share your toys with me. I still believe that's the way the world should work. Be kind to others, and they will be kind to you. Do the right thing, and the right thing will turn out. Trust others, and they will be trustworthy. But life isn't like that, is it? In the adult world, we discover that we can be kind to others, and they will be mean to us. You can tell the truth and the other person will lie like a dog. You can lend money that you'll never have returned to you. You can be a very good person and others will be very bad in return. Another way of saying all of this is that bad things can happen to good people. A few years ago, I read the book The Innocent Man by John Grisham. Some of you may read John Grisham. It's the true story of two men in Oklahoma who were arrested for murder 5 years after the event occurred. They were convicted. There was no physical evidence, but the two were convicted on the testimony of some jailhouse snitches, some lazy police work, and an overzealous district attorney. One man was sentenced to life, and the other man was sentenced to death row. It took 11 years before they were exonerated and released. The reality is that we live in a world where bad things happen to innocent people. There was another wrongly imprisoned man named Stephen that we read about just now. Stephen was a Jew who lived in Jerusalem. He had a Greek name, and so he probably belonged to the diaspora, which was a class of Jews that had been dispersed throughout the Roman Empire and who had adopted the Greek language and Greek culture. His name, Stephen, means crown. Seems like his parents had high expectations for young Stephen. Stephen probably belonged to one of the Greek culture synagogues in Jerusalem that catered to the Jews who had immigrated back into Palestine. We don't know if he was rich or poor. We don't know whether he was short or tall. We don't know whether he was handsome or homely, married or single, or how old he was. We didn't know much about him, do we? However, what we know about Stephen is his character, and character is the most important thing any of us can have. This is what Acts chapter 6 says about Stephen. He was a man full of faith and the Holy Spirit. He was a man full of God's grace and power. He did great wonders and miraculous signs among the people, and he spoke with wisdom by the Holy Spirit. That's about as good as it gets. Stephen was an amazingly good, godly, spiritual, powerful, wise follower of Jesus Christ. Those who knew him considered him to be of sterling character and integrity. He was chosen, remember, just a few verses before our passage today, he was chosen to take care of the church's finances and their widows. He's the kind of friend you could trust with your money and your mother. Stephen was surely a good, godly man who came under attack. See, there was a group of critics who set out to destroy Stephen. The synagogue of freedmen refers to people who were once slaves in Rome, but who had been set free. In 63 BC, the Roman general Pompey took thousands of Jewish slaves out of Israel and took them into the Roman Empire. Later, they were freed, and some of them migrated back to Jerusalem, where they established their own synagogue, the synagogue of the freedmen. The other opponents of Stephen were from Cyrene, which you know is in modern Libya, Alexandria, which is, you know, in Egypt, and Cilicia and Asia, and they were provinces in the modern country of Turkey. They were all people like Stephen. They were all from the Greek culture, and they were all part of the Jewish minority. I suspect some of those critics of Stephen may have gone to the same synagogue as Stephen. At first, they tried to argue with Stephen. He was a Jew who believed that Jesus was the Messiah sent from God. We can't call him a Christian yet because the word Christian hadn't been devised. He was a follower of Jesus. These critics of his did not believe that Jesus was the Son of God, and so they hoped to defeat Stephen in debate. But Stephen was smart and a good debater, and it didn't work. Truth was on his side, and the others were no match for Stephen, and they quickly lost this theological debate. When they couldn't win the argument, they decided to attack the man. And so they attacked Stephen with lies and with inflammatory emotions. When that didn't work, they resorted to legal charges and violence. And we thought this was new to our generation. Someone in that group said, "Well, we've heard Stephen speak words of blasphemy against Moses and against God." And so they stirred up the people and the leaders, and then they brought Stephen before the Sanhedrin. And then they brought in people who told lies about Stephen. It's difficult to defend yourself against this kind of attack. About 100 years ago, I used to be an administrator with Social Security. Some of you old folks remember that. And I ran an office outside of Washington. And I had a supervisor who worked for me. And every time we'd have a staff meeting, she would bring up things in the staff meeting, rumors that she had supposedly heard about me. She said she had heard these rumors and just wanted to know if they were true. I couldn't figure out where in the world these rumors were coming from, since no one else seemed to hear them but her. One day, she was out sick, and I got a call from the White House about this claim, and she was in the process of reviewing the claim, so I had to go to her office and thumbed through her desk until I found that case so I could look at it and call people in the White House back and tell them what was going on. So I found that case, and I found another case, a little file stuck in the back of her drawer, and it was about me. She was keeping a file on me, and the things she had written about me were sheer nonsense. See, what had happened is I got promoted ahead of her, and she didn't like that, and so she was collecting things to get me in trouble with the big boss. In a ways, it was laughable. In some ways, it hurt. But I decided there was no way to satisfy this type of critic. And so I chose to follow the example of Stephen and neither defend nor retaliate. She never knew that I saw that file. When I resigned to go to seminary, this lady still did not get my job. It's a tough thing to be accused of things that are not true. The accusations that this group of people made against Stephen were serious to first century Jews. They accused him of blasphemy against Moses, who gave the Old Testament law. They accused him of blasphemy against God. They accused him that he was going around telling people that Jesus taught that the temple would be destroyed in 3 days. He was accused of teaching that the Jewish laws should be changed. That's serious business to a Jew. There was a seed of truth to some of these accusations. Jesus, remember, had said that the temple would be destroyed and raised back in 3 days. But he wasn't talking about a building. He was talking about his body. Jesus did teach that the Old Testament law was completed in him as the Messiah, the chosen one of God. It wasn't disrespect to the Old Testament law, the Jewish law. It was fulfillment of the law. In other words, Jesus' teaching was taken out of context and misinterpreted. Stephen's critics twisted and distorted the teachings of Jesus in order to attack this very good man. There is a really important lesson here for all of us. When reading books, newspapers, and especially blogs and websites, or when listening to TV shows or radio programs, beware of those who make personal attacks. Beware of those who take the truth and twist it to fit their own purposes. And be especially cautious of any who claim to be Christian and yet attack other believers. Stephen was in serious trouble. His accusers were well organized, and they were willing to use any deceit or lie to win. He was standing trial before the Sanhedrin, and it was the same Sanhedrin that had convicted Jesus and sentenced him to death. It was the same Sanhedrin that had Peter arrested and the other apostles arrested and beaten. Things didn't look good for old Stephen. But God had not forgotten Stephen. Verse 15 says, all who were sitting in the Sanhedrin looked intently at Stephen, and they saw that his face was like the face of an angel. See, Stephen's face glowed with that supernatural radiance, and everyone could see it, and they couldn't take their eyes off Stephen. Remember, this same glow had come to Moses when he met with God and delivered the Ten Commandments to the Hebrew people. There's an irony here. These people were accusing Stephen of destroying the law, and God was physically making him glow like Moses, who gave the law. God made his face glow, but God did not free him from jail. You need to read the next chapter in Acts to find out what happens. But I'll give you a hint. It isn't very good. In fact, more bad things happen to this very good man. And there is much for us to learn and live from this story. We can be good people and do everything that's right, individually and as a church, and still some can take us down. Just because someone is full of faith and the Holy Spirit doesn't mean that life will be easy or your dreams will come true. Good and godly people get fired from jobs. They suffer terminal illnesses. They have broken relationships. We live in a sinful world where far too many people play into the evil plans of Satan. But hear this. As Christians, we do what is right no matter how it turns out. We trust God for the ultimate outcome, whether we ever live to see it or not. The story of Stephen is not just the biography of a good man who got a raw deal. It's bigger than Stephen. The battle between God and evil is dangerous, and there are casualties in the conflict. Stephen is given to us as an example of one person who lived for Jesus when it was dangerous to do so. And he was faithful to God, and he suffered as a result. In fact, you will learn that he died before he ever found out some of the differences that he made in the lives of others. As Christians, we are to be like Stephen. Do what is right regardless of the outcome. Remain faithful to God even when we're up against enemies and critics and setbacks and illness and injustice and any other kind of problem you can think of. Be faithful to Jesus for Jesus' sake, and not because everything turns out well. Do what is right because it is right. Do what is good because you are a child of God and a follower of Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, in the living of our everyday life, help us to do what is right and good, no matter the consequences. Help us to fight off the temptation to be like those who are of this world. And as we read in Luke's gospel, help us to do to others as we would have them do to us. And Lord, this moment we invite those who might wish to become a follower of yours, that today would be the day of salvation, that they would come confessing sin and accepting your gift of forgiveness. We invite those who are looking for a church home to come and join with us, that we might do what is right in this world for the sake of your holy name. Hear our prayers in the name of Christ. Amen. Our hymn this morning is number 502, Open My Eyes That I Might See.